You're listening to the God Stories Radio podcast. www.godstoriesradio.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of God Stories Radio. This is session 328. I'm Fritz.
And I'm Tina.
What is going on out there on a Friday night? What's everybody doing?
Gosh, I'm just grateful to have made it through this week.
Right?
Yeah. It's been a rough one.
Good gracious. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen to that. Man, without him, we are nothing.
Well, how was your week this week, babe?
You know, I had a pretty good week. I got caught up with a lot of things at the church, and we're planning on another conference.
Oh, boy.
In April.
Okay.
And just a good week. I spent a lot of time in the Word, and the Lord's been teaching me things and speaking to me, and I've really come to appreciate that, and it's come quite habitual. I can't seem to escape it.
That's good. That's
gotta
good.
Do it.
Building
gotta
those
do
good
it.
Habits, right?
That it is.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be here on the Friday night with a very special guest. So how was your week, babe?
Well, thank you. It was very good. It was difficult physically, but I'm glad that I've made it through. And then, you know, I've got spring break next week, and I'm hoping to get caught up on a whole bunch of stuff for school, as well as maybe even a couple of things around the house. Things are possible.
Yes, ma'am. Amen to that.
So y'all can be praying
even
for me about that.
Even the disappearance of dishes, yeah.
Yeah, the tornado came through the house again today, so he was cooking up a storm.
Oh, boy.
Our youngest, we call him Hurricane Matt.
And he lives up to the billing.
He tears through room.
He's nowhere to be found now, though.
No,
he's
very
conveniently. Aloof. Very aloof.
Yes. He comes, he sweeps through, and he exits.
Well, that he does. And we want to thank everybody that's joining us on Mixler tonight. You have dialed into a good one.
Yes, indeed.
Well, babe, who do we have with us tonight?
We have a wonderful guest. His name is Chris Dubois. He's a follower of Jesus, husband, and father to six children.
Six?
Six. Can you believe it?
Hot diggity.
Right?
He needs one more. That's a number of completion, you know, number of perfection.
He has been a children's youth and young adult pastor, as well as an assistant pastor. He's founded the Awakening Church in 2009. And he still leads it today out of Dover, New Hampshire. He is the founder and president of Chris Dubois Ministries. Definitely want to check that out. And Chris is also an author of three books, including Holy, Holy, which holy is spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning
all
inclusive.
Oh, I see what he did there. Yeah. I see what he did there.
Holy, Holy. And then a training manual for living a complete holy life. And the second book is A Study Guide for Holy, Holy, a training manual for living a completely holy life, and A Better Approach to Dating, Navigating the Modern Dating Scene with God's Guidance. I wish we had that, babe, when we were doing singles ministry.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he received his bachelor's degree from Zion Bible Church, currently called North Point Bible College. I'm sorry. I think I might have said that wrong. A degree from Zion Bible College, currently called North Point Bible College, and with a major in Bible studies and a minor in pastoral studies, and a Master's of Divinity degree from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. Ooh, that's a mouthful. But Chris, you've got quite a pedigree behind you there. Welcome to the show, and thank you for being willing to be on.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. So how did you find out about God Stories Radio?
I had somebody had gotten a hold of me with several different people to reach out to and contact for podcasts, and I just sent out a mass email, and I was blessed to hear from you guys. And so, yeah, I've been on several podcasts now and enjoying each one of them.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. And so you have, maybe you could open up by just telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to know the Lord.
Sure. So, yeah, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. Don't remember too much from it because my parents took me out at a young age. I was a child. My dad was watching Jimmy Swaggart on television. He ends up giving his life to Jesus Christ, becomes born again, still stays with the Roman Catholic Church for a little bit, but eventually parts ways, becomes Pentecostal. And so now I am in the Protestant evangelical spectrum. So I was raised in a Pentecostal Protestant church. And I remember at a young age being part of a Royal Rangers program, which is kind of like a Protestant version of Boy Scouts. And so we do a lot of camping activities, and people would be preaching at them. And one evening I gave my life to Jesus Christ as a child. I was then baptized in water. Kind of backslid through my middle school years, kind of didn't really have my own personal intimate relationship with the Lord, kind of went astray. But then as a freshman in high school, 15 years old, my parents would force me to go to church. I don't know if you guys grew up this way, but I had to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I didn't want to go, but I had to go or else I was on the street. So I'm thankful for that now. I wasn't blessed at the time, but thank God they made me go to church services because that's where I encountered God. So at 15 years old, I was just sitting back there in the pew, and the Lord got a hold of me. The Spirit of God fell on me, gripped me. I came forward and recommitted my life to Christ, but I was still kind of ashamed, not really bold for Jesus. I wanted to fit in, be cool, liked, and accepted in my public high school, so I didn't say anything about Jesus. And anyways, I started to get a hunger in me for the Lord, and started going after him. And I heard about a baptism filling of the Holy Spirit for power to witness, Acts 1:8. And I wanted power to witness because I was ashamed. And I wanted boldness, and I was a shy guy. Mm-hmm. And anyways, at 17 years old, there was an evangelist visiting the church, and he had a whole week-long series of meetings. I remember every day going up to get prayer and not really feeling anything, experiencing anything. I left discouraged. My friends and family were being touched by the Lord, encountering him, tasting and seeing the Lord was good. And I just didn't get anything out of it. I'd go every night for prayer and just walk back to the seat. But I still was believing and seeking after the Lord and praying for a touch from God that would forever change and transform my life, and that I would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I remember going up the last night he was there, and I had gone forward, and the rest is history. It was about 3 to 4 hours I was in the manifest glory and presence of God. I remember this has only happened to me a couple times, maybe three times in my 30-year walk with the Lord, but I fell over. The power of God just made me so weak. The next thing you know, I found myself on the floor. I saw a vision of Jesus. He was touching my head. I felt like a river of living water going through my body. It was like a fire cleansing away the impurities and the evil in me. But it was just such a pleasure and a joy when I was in that moment. It was unbelievable. I remember struggling a lot with joy growing up. And I remember at one point in that saying, I'm going to stop smiling. And I couldn't even do that. It was just such bliss, such joy, such happiness, and such pleasure in the manifest presence of God as I laid out there. That went on for about an hour. I scraped myself off the floor, and the next thing you know, I'm crying like a baby, that never happened. I never cried. I'm in front of all my guy friends, my girlfriend, and I'm just like, you know, snots and everything, just like baby howling. People are staring at me, and the Holy Spirit, wow. He was all over me. Yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, I was 17 years old. This was pretty humbling, but I didn't care. And the next thing you know, I sat down at the stage area, and it was probably 2 hours into it at this point. My dad had brought me and my mother, and he gets up for work early the next morning. So he came to me and he said, come on, we got to get going. It's getting late and I got to get up for work. So I said, okay. And this is going to sound exaggerated, but I'm not exaggerating at all. I couldn't move. And I tried to get up and I couldn't move. So I said to my father, I can't move. And he said, come on, I'm not playing around. I said, I'm not either. Mm-hmm. If you want to take this up, take it up with God. I can't move. I don't think he's done with me yet. And the fear of God hit him. He backed off and he said, you know, take your time, no issues. I'll come back and check on you. His whole attitude, voice changed and everything. So he went and sat down. About a half an hour later, he came up and all sheepishly said, is the Lord done with you yet? Are you able to move? Are you able to? I said, I don't know. I'll try. So I went to go stand up, but I collapsed right away. And I said, I can move, but I won't get far. So if you want me to leave, I'm going to have people catching me and helping me to escort me out of this building. I remember at one point, too, before he had come up there, I forgot that part, too. I started laughing, which that never happened either. That's only happened twice in my Christian existence. And I found myself just laughing with joy for no reason. There was no jokes given or anything. I was just laughing. I was in the presence of God. So anyways, two friends, about three and a half hours in, I finally got up and sure enough, I collapsed. They caught me and they walked me out. It was like a wounded war victim. And in the car on the way home, I was crying the whole way home as my mother journaled as I was telling her what had happened at that moment. But that experience forever changed my life. I became radical for Jesus, bold. I started preaching at my youth group. Here's a kid that in middle school, they asked me to publicly speak and I almost threw up. I was so nervous and scared and I made a fool out of myself. I was scared. Spitless of speaking in front of large groups. Now I found myself preaching in my youth group. I started a Bible study at my public high school, started praying for people, leading people to Christ. And the next thing you know, I went to my youth pastor and I said, I think God's calling me into ministry. He said, well, if he is, where are you going to go to Bible college? I said, I have no idea. He says, well, seek God until he tells you. So I ended up praying and the Lord, I felt inaudibly in my spirit speak to me and said, Zion Bible College, at the time it was called Zion Bible Institute, now the North Point Bible College. But anyways, I had gone there a couple of years earlier and I had gone through the building. The building was kind of run down. And I remember saying to my friend, who in their right mind would ever come to this dump? And not a knock on that college. They've since moved to a beautiful building. And but the college is, you know, other than the building, was a wonderful college. I ended up going there. That's where I got my bachelor's degree. It was spirit-filled. The spirit moved. I really grew in intimacy with the Lord there and grew my knowledge of the scriptures. And went to get my master's after that. And that's my testimony.
Wow. That's fantastic. You know, when you were talking, wow, too, about your shyness and then that overwhelming presence of God, you know, where he chose to connect with you in that way. It's just a very Moses-like experience too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've only had a few real powerful encounters with the presence of God. That one's the biggest, the most powerful. I've had another couple that were powerful as well, but nothing as powerful as that. But, you know, the beautiful thing is it transforms your life. It changes you. I got several children, and there's no grandchildren. There's only children in the family of God. And I keep encouraging my children and challenging them. Listen, you got to have your own relationship with the Lord. But I keep encouraging them, seek God, because Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, if we seek him with all our heart, we'll find him. And that's the only way to find him is to go after him with all your heart. Mm-hmm. And I keep encouraging them, do that, because you have an encounter like I had. You know, it forever changes you. And so, yeah, the grace of God there. And what was so cool, too, is my mother, when I was in her womb, she was at a charismatic renewal Catholic conference. And she had gone down to the bishop and for prayer for herself. And as he was praying for her, he laid hands on her belly in the womb, which I was in. And he prophesied that I would one day, I had a calling on my life, and one day I would be involved in evangelism and I would win many to Christ. And my mother used to tell me that story right from birth. I almost died. I had all sorts of complications and issues. And then throughout my life, I've almost died over 20 times. I feel like the enemy's been trying to take me out, but the Lord has protected me through it all. Mm-hmm. But I remember another instance, too, when I was a child. I was down front of the praising God at the end of the service and worshiping, and a woman looked at me and prophesied that one day I would have a teaching ministry and I would go all over the world with it. So I see the Lord, you know, starting to bring all these things to pass now that I've been doing full-time ministry for almost 20 years, and God is faithful.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
Man, what a story.
That's amazing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Chris is, you know, the boldness that you pray for, At what time in your life did you feel a breakthrough in that? You know, I still struggle with that. You know, should I say something? Should I do something? When did you feel the, was there a physical breakthrough or was it mental? Walk me through that if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'd love to. I grew up super shy. Nobody believes me now that they know me. But it's true. I grew up shy. And what ended up happening was when I received the baptism of the filling of the Spirit, that forever changed me. So that was the big one. I got filled with the Holy Spirit.
And that was at 17.
According to Acts 1:8, there's power to witness with that. So he changed my life with that. But there was other things as well that happened. I remember my ex-father-in-law, he had prayed over me, and I had asked him to pray over me for boldness. And he had said that he had had somebody prayed for him for boldness, and I didn't really know what I was asking because the boldness he had received was so radical. And he said, "You sure you want me to pray for this for you? Because I'm going to believe right now he's going to give you what I had received years ago that forever wow. changed his life." And this guy was like a real, he is a real bold guy. So I said, "Yeah, bring it on. You know, I need more and more boldness." And I remember he had prayed for me and I felt something there too. I was already bold, but it just gave me that extra boldness. So I believe through faith and prayer too, God can impart even greater boldness to us. And of course, I still feel anxious, you know, anxiety and fear at times. And I just cry out to the Lord. And as I open my mouth, he fills it with power to witness. He fills it with boldness. I mean, I have to do things now that require great boldness, like preaching the gospel out on the streets. And, you know, I my whole life is, you know, ministering and leading and public speaking and podcasts and whatever. And, you know, I need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. It's definitely not me. I am weak, but through Christ, I can do all things. So he gives me strength and the boldness to go along with it as I do my part with my freedom of choice and step out on the water, if you will, and trust him and open my mouth.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, babe. I know you had a question.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm just also interested in some of the other things that you've done here, Chris. You said you read this book, Holy, Holy, and that it's a training manual for living a completely holy life. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, so I felt many, many years ago a calling on my life for holiness. It was confirmed by a prophetess. She was one of kind of a mentor in my life. She's since passed away, but one night she was praying for me, and she said that she felt the Lord tell her to tell me that the Lord would raise me up and use me one day in a holiness, missional, evangelistic type of movement. And that was kind of confirmation, because at the time I felt a drawing and a calling to holiness and I couldn't shake it. And it was a personal pursuit in my own life. I had my sins and my weaknesses and my hangups, and I wanted to mature and grow and get freedom and victory over them. And certainly I'm not perfect today, and I'm still growing in holiness, but it required a passionate pursuit of holiness. You know, I think of Hebrews 12:14, it says, "Strive for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." It's a serious thing. So I said, you know, I got to go after holiness. And I started really pursuing it, studying it, researching it, not only to write a book one day, which I initially felt like I would, but for my own personal holiness and growth, so I could be a better father, a better husband, a better pastor, a better man of God, a better Christian. Mm-hmm. And in that, that's where the book came, because I started doing tremendous research and studying it. I said, you know what, I got to write this down, because one day I want to get this in book form so I can help others with what I've researched and with what I've found. And basically I just found that there's such great potential for us in walking in freedom and victory over sin for the Christian. I found that the potential for us is so great. And basically that's where the book came from. So the book's broken down into three parts: how holy can we become on this earth, what is biblical holiness, and how do we apply and live it out? There's three parts to it. So that was the book. It's 344 pages as of right now, 29 chapters. It took me many years to write. and many years of practical experience. And I'm still seeking to live a holy life. I'm not perfect, but I like to believe that I've grown a lot over the years, and I'm getting more and more freedoms and victories over different sinful, struggles. And, before Christ returns, I'm planning on growing all the more and becoming more and more victorious over sin. And then when he returns, I get my glorified, perfected, spiritual, resurrected body. And finally, I'll be sinless, and holiness will be automatic. And it'll no longer be a struggle and a fight. And no longer will it take me cooperating with him and making good choices and putting in hard work like we do on this earth to walk in it.
Yeah, it's not easy. I always thought the older that I got, the better person I would be. And I don't necessarily find that to be the truth. I feel like all the flaws get highlighted even more.
You're still working out that salvation,
babe.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so true, because the more we go after the Lord, he shines those areas in our life that he wants to purge and prune out of us. Yeah. But he's a good father. Even when he disciplines us, Hebrews 12, he does it in love so that we're partakers of his holiness. The standard's really high. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says that, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your behavior, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. That comes right out of Leviticus 19:2 and Leviticus 11:44. But the point is, the standard is high. He's saying, look, be holy as I am holy. It's like, really? Did I just read that? And then he doesn't say some of your behavior.
What, is that a joke?
I know, exactly. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's the standard? Mean like every thought, motive, action, word I say needs to be holy like you're holy? And yeah, that's the standard. He also says in Luke 6:36 to be merciful as he is merciful. Matthew 5:48, Jesus says to be perfect as he is perfect. In the context, he's talking about loving our enemies or our neighbor. But, God calls us to these high standards, and the temptation is to get discouraged and say, well, I can't do this. Or worse yet, twist the scriptures and say, well, it doesn't really mean that. Well, the reality is, it does mean it, but we don't have to be discouraged, because here's the good news. With God's commands comes his enablement, and that's where the power of the Spirit and grace comes in. Grace is God's empowerment that gives us the ability to obey his commandments, to do his will. Often we confuse grace with mercy. Mercy covers our sin. Mercy's there when we mess up and we sin. Thank God for his mercies that are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, Lamentations 3 tells us. But grace actually gives us the ability not to sin. Titus 2:11-14 says the grace of God has appeared to all men, not some men, all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. So God's grace is there to not only give us unmerited favor for salvation or justification, but it's also there to empower us to live sanctified, holy lives and one day glorify us. So the beauty in all this is that God's grace and his power is there. If we tap into it by being faithful, by making good choices, by trusting in him, he'll give us that grace. He'll give us the power of the Spirit so that we walk a holy life. And the other good news is this: if we mess up and we sin, which we find ourselves doing at times, his mercy is there to forgive us and cleanse us and to remember our sin no more. So that's the glorious good news of the gospel of grace.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Amen.
Thank goodness, because then there'd be no hope for any of us.
Exactly. I wanted to stress one thing too, if you don't mind.
No,
is
I don't.
That okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not teaching a sinless perfection. So I have a chapter on there on excesses and errors throughout the years, throughout church history and the holiness movement. But I think in our culture today, the general pattern is holiness isn't talked about much. It's looked at as almost a dirty, negative word. Mm-hmm. But scripturally, holiness is a beautiful word. It's a positive word, because holiness brings wholeness, body, soul, and spirit to the whole person. Mm-hmm. He wants us fully whole. And wholeness comes when we trust and obey him, when we're faithful, when we live out his law and his commandments, which is holy living. To be holy is to be set apart from all that is common or profane. In other words, another word for holy is to be hallowed or to be sacred. We're called to be holy, hallowed, and sacred, just like God is holy, hallowed, and sacred. God is completely opposite of everything that's on this earth. He's a creator, we're the creature, right? And we're to be set apart like he is from all that is common and profane, from all that is sinful and evil. God is so pure, he can't even look on evil. And that's what he calls us to. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. He cleans us up over time, but it's holy living is sanctified living. It's being set apart from all that is common, profane, and sinful and evil, and being set apart unto God. And the good news is the Bible calls us saints, 1 Corinthians 1:1. The Bible calls us saints, not sinners. And so many people want to highlight the fact that we're sinners, but the Bible highlights the fact that we're saints. And that's our new nature. That's our identity. We're set apart from sin, set apart unto the Lord. And I'm sorry, I said 1 Corinthians 1:1. It's 1 Corinthians 1:2. He says to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So that's our new nature. We're saints. I love what one of my mentors said. I put it in the book that we were once sinners saved by grace. Now we're saints empowered by grace.
Wow.
And that brings home the good point there in that, yeah, we sin at times. Why? Because we're weak. Because, you know, we're wrestling against the flesh, the world, the devil, and not to mention our sinful selves that we have to deny daily, take up our cross and follow Jesus, right? So it's a struggle, it's a battle, it's a fight. And at times we make stupid choices. But here's the point. God is merciful. And as we keep on trusting in Jesus, following Jesus, he'll clean us up over time. He'll give us freedom and victory over sin. And the more and more holy we become, the more and more whole we become. And we look like Jesus, who is the most holy person on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, I'm blessed.
Well, tell me a little bit also about the other book that you wrote, because I know you wrote the
Better Approach to Dating.
Yes. But yeah. I know you wrote the manual, that the companion manual that goes with the Holy Holy. But I did want to touch on A Better Approach to Dating, Navigating the Modern Dating Scene with God's Guidance.
Yeah, so that one's crazy, because here I am, I'm seeking God for the next book, and he puts on my heart dating. I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? I'm thinking he's going to, you know, I'm a theological nerd, right? I have the gift of teaching. I love to teach. I love to go deep in the scriptures, but communicating it in a clear and understandable way. So I'm thinking, you know, let's talk about, I don't know, predestination, election. Let's talk about, you know, the love of the Father. Let's talk about, you know, the church. And he says to me, dating. I'm like, okay, you got to be kidding me. I'm almost 40 years. Actually, I was 41 at the time. I'm 43 now. But anyways, so I'm like, are you kidding me? In my 40s, you're calling me to write a book on dating. I'm like, isn't that something somebody in their, I don't know, teenager or 20s would write on? So here's the irony of it. And this is kind of, this isn't really funny. This is sad, but this is my life. This is what happened to me. So it is what it is. I'm not a, you know, I just want to be raw and real and tell my story. So basically what happened, I was married for almost 14 years, two kids. My former spouse decides she doesn't want to be married to me anymore. And so she ends up going to the court. She divorces me. I tried everything to fight it. I prayed. I fasted. I got counseling. I tried to get us to get counseling. She didn't want it. I begged her not to leave. Nothing worked. She ended up walking. So then I waited for almost 3 years. Maybe it was a little over 3 years. But I waited for her many years to come back, hoping that she would, believing she would. And she never did. She ended up getting remarried. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to move on and trust that God will replace her with another woman. Mm-hmm. And that's at the season where he called me to write a book on dating. So I was single mm-hmm. with two kids, one a teenager and one about to be a teenager. Now they're all teenagers. And so that's where that whole book came out of. It was out of a deep, dark season of my life that was full of grief and sorrow. Mm-hmm. At the time I wrote it, I had been healed and God had restored my joy. But I went through a really dark season, suicidal. I was yelling at God daily to kill me. I almost died on three occasions. My car flipped sideways. I was driving the convertible. It should have kept rolling all the way over and snapped my neck. For some reason, there were angels all around it. I pushed it back. It went sideways. Landed on the side, skidded, then it went back on its four tires like a James Bond movie, and I just pulled into a driveway. I came out with no wounds, no scars, no scratches. The people were yelling at me to get into an ambulance. I said no, and I'm fine, and yeah, that was it. God saved my life. Another one, a big not a moose, but like a big, huge deer jumped in front of my car when I was going 55 miles an hour. I missed it by an inch.
Wow.
And then another occasion, I choked on a hamburger and spit it up at the last second before I died. So three occasions, I almost died during that. It was about 6 weeks. I was yelling at God every day to kill me because I didn't want to be on the earth anymore. I was suicidal, depressed, because I knew the divorce was coming and nothing was going to change it. And I remember the Lord speaking to my spirit. I felt him speak to me inaudibly, and he said, I could have killed you, but I'm not going to. I still have a plan and a purpose for your life. One night I was in my bed, and I had felt led to listen to a teaching on God healing the brokenhearted. And I didn't feel anything while I was watching it other than it was powerful. But I prayed at the end. I said, Jesus, I believe you're the healer of the brokenhearted. And I asked that you heal my broken heart. It was a simple prayer. I didn't have a lot of faith behind it. Went to sleep and I woke up completely healed. Depression lifted and my joy was restored. And I never went back to that dark season again. Mm-hmm. And but through all that, this is where the book came out of. And I said, okay, you know, I went back to my freshman year in high school is when I really seriously started dating. I had a girlfriend or two in elementary and middle school, but it was, the extent of that was a few weeks and holding the hands. But my first serious relationship was 15. I was in freshman in high school, and this girl I was, you know, she claimed to be a Christian and she was going to the youth group, and I was. And well, the next thing that happened was she wanted to sleep with me, and I said, I can't sleep with you. That's sin, you know, sexual immorality is a sin. I can't do that. And she was like, come on. She kept on egging me on, and eventually I said, no, I can't do that. And she broke up with me. In the meantime, I found out she had cheated on me with a couple of my best friends and multiple other guys. And that was the start of my dating. And I said, you got to be kidding me. That was like a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, I start dating other girls throughout high school, and the same thing starts happening. I get a broken heart. I get rejected. I get betrayed. I get cheated on. There's drama. There's sexual temptation. By the grace of God, I didn't give in, but we weren't always pure either. But by the grace of God, I never went all the way. But, you know, there was all this sexual temptation. And I said, this can't be the best approach to dating here. Now, there was no dating apps, thank God, back then. Mm-hmm. And that was new when I was in my 40s trying that out. That's a whole other story. That was a disaster. But anyways, so, you know, going through all this, I said, there's got to be a better approach. Well, I hit college, and I said, I'm done with dating. We're going to try a different approach. So I searched the scriptures, and it comes to a shock to many people, but the topic of dating is not in the Bible. Why? Because parents arranged marriages. Dating's pretty much a new phenomenon in the last 120 or so years. Mm-hmm. And but there's biblical principles we can apply so that we can do this dating thing wisely. And when I say dating, I mean having a serious relationship with someone, not going out on dates per se. And so the approach is simple. The approach is very simple, but not a lot practice it because it takes work and it takes faith. But it's pretty much you use your singleness to seek God's face, and you develop friendships with girls. And I would often say to the girl, listen, I'm not taking you out on a date, but I'm going to hang out with you and get to know you. We're going to start to get to build a friendship and start to communicate and see if we think each other might be the one that the Lord would have for us. So I started developing friendships with girls, and this happened in college onward. And sure enough, none of them worked out, but there was no rejection. There was no betrayal. There was no sexual temptation. And it wasn't awkward when we saw each other, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But yet through that, I remember one girl that I was friends with. I said, God, if she's the one, let nothing in hell stop this friendship from progressing. But if she's not the one, let all hell come against it and dissolve it. A few days later, she got a hold of me. She was out on a trip and she said, I have something to confess to you. I said, what's that? She said, I met a guy and I kissed him, but I don't like him. I like you. And I want you to know that. And I said, well, I just prayed this prayer the other day, and I think we need to part ways. So, I mean, it was supernatural, serious stuff like that. And God was just with me the whole time. I remember I said, God, I'm going to believe that you have a person for me. I'll be the one that you as a perfect matchmaker know is best for me and will compliment me well. I'm going to trust you to bring her to me, and I'm not going to try to go make it happen anymore, doing it in my own ability. And I remember I surrendered a future wife to him, and he gave me contentment. He gave me joy and peace. And then I remember I was teaching a class to adults, and ironically, I was a single guy teaching the class on how to have intimate relationships with one another in a social church context. And here I am as a single guy teaching this class, and this girl walks in, and the Holy Spirit comes on me and says, that's going to be your future wife.
Wow.
I looked at my mother and I said, that's my wife. So instead of her saying, well, you know, pray about it, make sure that was really God, or, I encourage you to, ponder on this. She laughed at me. I said, okay, well, I'm going to give it to the Lord and see where it goes. So after the class, I went and introduced myself, asked her to hang out with me and a bunch of people. And she said she couldn't that week, but she could the following week. The following week, we went out. A few months before I had met this girl, a woman called me. I hadn't spoken with her for years. She operated in prophecy. She was actually the one that prophesied me having a teaching ministry one day when I was a child. And she called me. She said, I had been praying for you. I hadn't seen her for years. And she said that the Lord told her to call me and to let me know that my future wife was coming in the very near future. And I needed to write down exactly what I wanted her to be for me and what I wanted to be for her, to journal it. Mm-hmm. So that night we went out, I threw a fleece out before the Lord. I said, if this is my future spouse, let her initiate the conversation of marriage. And remember, we had only known each other for 2 weeks and I'd never hung out before. And I said, let her bring a marriage. Let her say that she wants a husband that fulfills Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, that type of husband. And this was the fleece I threw out, and then let her initiate bringing up. She wants to be a 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 wife, gentle, quiet, submissive, spirited woman. And I remember going out and just hoping that this would happen, of course, and that I was right in the voice that I thought I had heard. And sure enough, she initiates the topic of marriage. Next thing you know, she's bringing up Ephesians 5, 25 and 33, where she wants from her future husband. But I go to bring her home and I said, man, she never brought up 1 Peter 3. So I got really depressed. I said, man, I must have missed it. It must have been the tacos I ate the night before. So I remember I dropped her off. She went inside and I drive in and out. I'm all discouraged and depressed feeling. And she comes out and she says, stop, stop, stop. I said, what? She says, I got a bookmark. I want to run inside the house and bring it out for you and share it with you. I said, okay. She runs in her house. She brings out a bookmark and her Bible. And on the bookmark was 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, and what she wanted to be her future husband. So I knew driving away, she was my future wife.
Wow.
In 2 weeks. We were dating 4 months later. I proposed to her, and 8 months later, we were married, and we almost made 14 years. So through all that, that approach worked, and it worked again for my second wife. And through that 3-year period, I didn't date, and several different girls wanted to date me, and I didn't go down that road. I just developed friendships with them. And again, God sent me my next wife. He made it clear it was her. And we married in a short while, and we're about to celebrate a year. So God is good.
Oh, amen. Well,
wow,
I'm so glad to
fantastic.
Hear God restored that part of your life. You
yes,
know?
Yes, yes, and yes. One last thing. I know we're going a little bit long, but I don't care. I'm getting blessed. But I want to hear about your podcast, Unbound.
Okay, I'm sorry, the podcast?
No, I think he means your ministry. I'm sorry.
That's fine. No, it's funny you mentioned that, actually, Fritz, because I'm in the process of starting a podcast. So that's funny. Hey, there's some confirmation there. My ministry, ChrisDuboisMinistries.com is the website. And I have a YouTube channel, so you can see my YouTube videos on there. I also have articles. You can purchase the books from there or on Amazon. And I am working on some college classes with the Awakening School of Ministry at the church I shepherd, the Awakening Church in Dover, New Hampshire. And I'll be putting those classes on there eventually as well. Biblical studies, 6 different courses, systematic theology, 1, 2, and 3, Old and New Testament survey, and hermeneutics, the art and science of interpreting scripture. So anyway, that website's there. I just started a side ministry. If people want me to come speak, if they want biblical counseling, that ministry is there for those purposes. And of course, they can also visit the Awakening Church if they're in the New Hampshire area, Sunday mornings at 10:30. All that information's at www.the-awakening.online. And so they can find out more about the Awakening Church there, and we'd love people to come visit. But that's pretty much the ministry.
Yeah, the reason I asked you about that is because on Amazon, it's got Unbound with Chris Dubois, and it's I love the graphic.
Unbound.
Yeah, it says Unbound, and it says a podcast.
Really? That must be another Chris Dubois. I don't know.
Dubois.
Or maybe it was another podcast I went on. I'm not sure.
Oh, man. That's pretty cool graphic. I thought that was you, but that's okay. It will be you here soon.
Yeah, I'll be starting one soon, though. I'm in the process.
Well, wonderful. We're glad to hear that.
Well, I'll put this out there that I'll be glad to assist you in any way I can, Chris, if you need some help with anything podcast related. Consider our studio yours, you know, so whatever you need.
Yeah, and also, too, I'm working on another book that is about 70% done on declaring the gospel and demonstrating it with signs and wonders and miracles following. So both hearing the gospel and also seeing the gospel as it's demonstrated through miracles. So anyways, that's going to be coming out soon as well, and people can find that on the website once it comes out.
Well, Chris, when the book is done, let us know and you can come back on the show.
Yeah, we'll do a part two.
Awesome. I would love to come back. You guys are a blessing.
Wonderful. And we had one of our listeners, when you were talking about, you know, your approach to dating and becoming friends with women rather than just, you know, starting to date them. He said, interesting. I was just thinking about this on my way home. Wow. And, you know, he's actually listening to an ebook right now from one of our previous guests. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's so cool. That's so awesome.
So
praise God.
God knows what he's doing.
Hopefully this podcast has blessed people.
I hope so too. I really do pray that it does. And I'm sure it has already. All of your tools out there have been a blessing to many. And so if you guys get the chance, please go out there and check out these books and also check out Chris Dubois Ministries. Sounds like he's got some great tools and resources out there for you to check out and enjoy. And if you get the chance, also you can look into his book. It's Holy, Holy. So W-H-O-L-L-Y and then H-O-L-Y, Holy, Holy. And then he also has the companion study guide with that. And the second book is A Better Approach to Dating, Navigating the Modern Dating Scene with God's Guidance. And I think I heard you say that the books were all available on Amazon.
I'm looking at them right here, Amazon.com. The Holy, Holy training manual is $20 on Amazon, or you can get it's free if you have Kindle. It's the unlimited membership with Kindle, or you can buy it ebook for $9.99, and then the dating book is $15. Same, it's zero with Kindle Unlimited, or $9.99 actually. Am I seeing that correct? To buy, okay, instant download. So there you go, Amazon.com.
All right. Any place else, Chris? Did we miss anything?
No, that's it. And can I say one encouraging note at the end here?
Please.
Absolutely.
I just want to encourage your listeners. I want to talk to the Christian, and then if you don't mind,
please,
the gospel for the non-Christian. Is that okay?
Of course.
So, yeah, if you're a Christian listening, the root of all our problems and pain in life is sin. To sin is to break God's law. 1 John 5 tells us that. And it's so important that we continue to grow in Christ so that we can find freedom over this sin, because sin is what holds us back and keeps us from that abundant life that God came to give us and that Jesus longs for us to walk in. So that is a great enemy. And I said 1 John 5, I meant 1 John 3, 4, to sin is to break God's law. So basically, the whole premise of Holy, Holy is that the more we grow as Christians in the sanctification, in holiness, the more freedom we'll get over sin, which is the thing that is the root of all our pain and problems that keeps us back from that complete joy, John 15:11, that Jesus came to give us, or that abundant life, John 10:10, that Jesus came to give us, that peace, that freedom, that joy, that love that he wants us to flow in. And so I just want to encourage you guys. Holiness is such a beautiful thing. Go after it. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says to complete holiness, both in body and spirit, in the fear of God. And that's where I got the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, from, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1 to complete that holiness. So I just want to encourage you with that, because for so long, holiness has been like this legalistic thing where man's rules are mixed with God's law and the traditions of man. And it's none of that. You know, it's God's commands are not burdensome. 1 John 5:3. And it's a beautiful thing. God's law brings liberty. Psalm 119 tells us it brings freedom. It brings joy. It brings blessing and happiness to our life. And on the other extreme, we have a license to sin or lasciviousness. What we got to do is find that biblical heart holiness that's grace-based, that's centered on loving God and loving people. And for those that aren't Christians listening to this, I just want to encourage you. Jesus is the answer. He's the way to the Father. The issue is that our sin has separated us from a holy God, and Isaiah 59:2 tells us that. And the only way to be restored or reconciled and made at peace with this holy God is to come by way of trusting in Jesus. When we repent or turn from our sin and trust in Jesus, we become what the Bible calls born again. We become saved, and we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're not righteous, but God sees us as righteous because he sees the righteousness of Christ that's applied or imputed to us. So on Judgment Day, when we die and stand before a holy God, our sin isn't going to keep us from heaven or from him, because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that's our ticket into heaven, into a perfect place called heaven with the perfect God for eternity. So that's the wonderful good news, that gospel, that salvation message is available for all. You just have to choose to trust and turn to Jesus, and he will save you right where you're at.
Well, Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and for your willingness to come on the show, and for sharing not only your testimony, but also about the books.
Man, I'm feeling blessed. I don't know about everybody else that's listening. I know the chat has been blowing up tonight, and people amen and shouting you down, Chris. They're shouting you down on the chat. So it's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, promise me you'll come back after the new book.
Awesome. I would love to.
That would be great. Chris Du Bois, awesome. Folks, on a special Friday night edition of God Stories Radio. We appreciate you being here with us. And also, I just wanted to say I appreciate the folks that have given for our fundraiser this year. And
thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. We still need more. We are a free resource. So if you know anybody that listens and has been blessed, you know, pass us along. And hopefully we can be a blessing to somebody down the line. But I just wanted to thank you for that. We really, really appreciate it, because it does take a little change to keep the lights on. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Donnie, thanks for everything that you're saying in that chat, brother. And Robert Herman, thank you. Thank you guys for chatting with us tonight. We greatly appreciate it. So, all right. Well, hang on with us, Chris. We're going to wrap this up. That about does it for session 328. I'm Fritz.
And I'm Tina.
God bless you guys.
God bless.